Let's drop goal!
It's over! They've done it! Evans has done it!
Welcome back to another episode of Two Words, Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. It's a slightly somber Saturday afternoon, but I'm always delighted to be joined by my cousin, William. Still sat there in your gorgeous Big Game 1 shirt. How are you feeling, brother?
15 years old, this shirt, and it's still our best one. 15 years, we set the bar high. I'm good. I'm full of all the emotions.
Yeah.
I'm a few pints deep. I might actually have to interrupt this episode in about 5 minutes' time to go collect a pizza that I've ordered.
Nice.
But I feel good. I feel emotional, yeah. Positively, negatively. Excited to hear about your day. Obviously, you can be with us today as the captain of your cricket team. Steph Louise vibes.
Yeah.
Uncompromising in your decision making. Unwavering of your commitment. You had to be there and you got the W as well. Didn't you? Congratulations on that. I'm feeling good. Let's see what comes out today, hey?
Yeah. It's do you know what, mate? It's been quite an emotional week, actually. Bit of news come out in the week, and as you said, I didn't make it today. I was sort of praying on results going our way this week so that I'd be able to go to the playoffs, but unfortunately, I wasn't there. We had a good win at home, 12 red ink for myself, and an 8-wicket win. So that was good. Good to get on the board for the boys down at the Wick.
Excellent. But yeah, nice getting not out as well.
Yeah, nice getting not out. Yeah, our overseas chappy got 60 odd red, so that was good as well. Nice to knock him off with him, but that was good. But yeah, it has been a bit of a funny week. It's been a bit emotional. I spent Wednesday down at the Albion. We've had a bit of news for the week as well, and then obviously, you know, we had today to look forward to. So let's kick it off, mate. Obviously, we got the news of Will Collier departing, which we'd sort of known about for a while. And, you know, we've had some sort of disappointing feelings that go along with it because of what a just incredible servant he's been to the club over the last God knows how many years. The little message that him and Danny put out via the YouTube platform and through the social media channels during the week was pretty emotional, actually. Two guys that have been, you know, right in the fabric of what the club's been about in the last sort of 10, 15 years almost, and even longer. And he was very kind to reference us in his little post-game or post-career at the Quinn's Tribute, saying that we've been, you know, flying the flag for the fans and all that sort of stuff, which is very kind.
That was special, wasn't it?
Yeah, really cool. We were lucky to have him on, you know, last season or the season before, actually, and he was just incredible with his time. And then you ended up stalking him in Nuffield Gym and seeing him in his Quinn's Budgie Smugglers at some point as well. But no, a word on him, mate. What, you know, the great man, the best looking prop in world rugby. A word on Will Collier.
I just wish I'd spoken to him at Nuffield Health in the sauna last time. Full of regret that I didn't. Obviously, a dark room in there. We won't jump into that story again. But he mentioned, actually, he's based in Southfields on his exit interview, let's call it, with Danny Kerr. So been a local boy all his life. Harlequins has been his club. If there was ever a man to earn an opportunity to play abroad and sort of finish his career, or at least certainly spend the few years he's probably got left, being a prop age 32, I think he is.
Yeah.
There's a handful of years left. I think a handful is probably fair as well with 5 years. You look at the likes of Dan Cole, who's instrumental for Leicester, and you look at the likes of Joe Marler, who's obviously still our guy. I think it's fair to say he's still got plenty of years left in him. And
he said, didn't he say, the body's feeling good. I've still got the appetite for it.
He thinks he's got plenty of time left, and I'm sure he's probably right. Nobody knows your body better than yourself, although he was through the wars today. He was down three or four times for Quinns and eventually forced off through injury, which was a great shame. But he got one of the most spine-tingling farewells I think I've ever been a part of at the Stoop. Every single person in that stadium, Bristol fans included, on their feet. They probably remember that try he scored, the dummy and just wanted to mark a bit of respect for that. But it's a funny one. It is a funny one. It's one that I feel emotionally attached to, having spoken to him on our podcast. It's one that's been critical to our set piece in the last few years, which has been the cornerstone of all our great work in the backs, and setting up that foundation. He's a brilliant person, somebody that you want playing for Harlequins. You look across the whole squad, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think I could pull out a single bad bloke in there.
Full of good people, isn't it?
Full of good people makes it so easy to support them. And I feel like he's in his prime,
yeah,
which is a weird thing to say, but I think props do sort of hit their prime early 30s, or it certainly seems that way at the current rate, doesn't it? And that makes Finn Baxter all the more exciting. But without digressing too much, Will Collier, what a man. Thank you for coming on our podcast. Thank you for giving us credit, and thank you for sending us direct messages as well. And
so
the fact that you appreciate us makes us appreciate you a whole lot more, which is really, really cool. So massive, massive good luck. And I don't know if you've seen the DMs, Mike, but I've signed us up to Castaway.
Yeah, I saw, yeah.
Season, regardless if Harlequins are in it. In fact, if anybody listening to this fancy Castaway Day, maybe in an obscure time of year where it might be about 20 quid a flight, go out there and we'll sing for King Cole and then back to his for a barbecue.
He's invited all the boys around for barbecue, isn't he? Yeah.
I think he would absolutely love that. If about 20 quins rock up and support him playing for Cast, I'm sure he'd happily host us for a barbecue. But your thoughts on that one as well, because I know it's special for both of us.
He's just a wonderful guy, isn't he? And probably you look across the Premiership, one of the people that's been so unlucky to not get more time in an England shirt. Like, you just think scrum time. And I mean, Laurie Dalrymple said, actually, I think I saw an interview with him. It might have been a tweet, actually, but just one of the great set-piece tight heads that England have produced in the last 10 years, and just incredibly unlucky to not get more of a run in the white and red rows. But, you know, you wonder whether that might have happened, whether he might have spent, you know, the twilight years of his career playing with us as well. But, you know, not to be, unfortunately, but, you know, he's got a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and you just think, couple of years in Castra, he's going to earn some good money, which he absolutely deserves. And also, he didn't rule out a return, did he?
I was just about to say that. Wouldn't it be lovely to see him at the age of 35 back in a Harlequin shirt and doing what Joe Marler's doing for us now? Never rule that out.
But no, incredibly lucky to have had him, and, you know, really sort of quite proud, actually, just watching the last sort of two or three weeks of him and how much he's enjoyed, you know, the away days in Toulouse and Bordeaux, and the last couple of years, a double Premiership winner, you know, arguably should have had a lot more England caps, but, you know, never mind. And we wish him all the very best. But it was one in, and it was one out and one back in quite quickly. Yeah. But the news that we had, you know, this is actually one of the few signings that we've had some, I say, knowledge of. It's been floating around social media for a few weeks, was TT Lamasotelli, who's joining us from Montpellier. American international, looks a big old lump as well. We played against him in Montpellier a couple of years ago, and, you know, hopefully he's gonna fill those shoes pretty quickly. What do you reckon about him?
Yeah, well, you know what, we've played him a couple of times because he's a former Saracen, obviously won a lot with them, unfortunately, with an asterisk against it. I'm gonna say it out there, look, TT, I don't know if you're listening to this, it's probably too soon, but you're a Harlequin now, and you need to learn that we don't count those.
No.
We don't count those. You know what, Mike, I feel a little bit, not guilty, I feel like we haven't publicly given enough love to that signing online yet. And the reason for that is I feel like it came so soon after news of Will Collier departing. It just didn't quite sit right with me to start pumping his tyres up so soon.
Well, it's a flip of that, isn't it? Because you think you're heartbroken when the announcement that Cole's leaving. And I suppose the way the club look at it is that you try and fill that void with a signing to fill the shoe straight away.
I'm not sure they got that one right, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think they did. I just think it, as, you know, as super, super fans of it, you're just a bit heartbroken by the initial bit.
I disagree. I think it's been the worst kept secret that Collier's leaving. And it's been it's been the worst kept secret that we're signing TT Lamasotelli. And I don't know, I felt like the double prong approach within the space of 24 hours was a bit much for me.
Maybe.
I would have liked another day to sort of dwell on Collier departing us, and then I'd have really got excited about TT. But if TT does listen to this, I couldn't be more excited. He is a brilliant age profile for a prop.
You were just saying
early 30s is prime. He's 29.
Yeah.
An international. He's won lots of trophies wherever he's gone.
Comes with some good pedigree, doesn't he?
Great pedigree. Whether it's with Saracens, Montpellier, wherever he's gone, he's achieved. He's a big, big lump, much bigger lump than Will Collier, which might make him a bit more of a threat in the ball carry, which would only be a good thing for us. And without isolating it to a specific game, because I think we were exhausted today and it was a very tired performance, but I think we were out-muscled a lot in the contact, and maybe a more physical prop like TT will be handy, because you've got Finn and Collier, who are excellent scrummagers.
Yeah.
And Finn is that torpedo, isn't he, that fires himself into a tackle. But in terms of the ball carrying, maybe TT can be that additional carrier that could give us something different, because next season we can't play the same way. We've lost a ball carrier in the backs in Andre. We've lost a technical player in the scrum and Collier. Maybe we just need to sort of reshuffle this jigsaw puzzle of a starting 15 we've got, and a ball carrying prop will be excellent.
And we've still got another international at tight end with 50 plus caps of Wales. So, you know, it'll be a big year for Dylan Lewis next year. And he's shown some glimpses this year of what an incredible player he is. Looks to have just been out with a bit of a bit of an injury the last few weeks. But, you know, next year will be a big year for Dylan Lewis. And those two, I imagine, will share a lot of the workload at tight head. So if we've got two really quality ones, that's a really good thing. Plus still with Marler and Baxter. And then, you know, we can't miss out Simon Kerrod's work, who was so effective at going on both sides of the scrum. That's a real key weapon for us. So
yeah, do you know what as well? I don't want to jump ahead and I don't want to sort of take this conversation off course. It was such a tired performance today, and it was last week as well. I wonder how much we rely on our starting 15 compared to other teams who are pretty good at rotating. And I think we've been very good at rotating this season in terms of designated rest weeks and players getting 60 minutes and 20 minutes here and there, managed very well. But I think having TT and Dylan, who are probably a level playing field for me, might actually help us.
Yeah, possibly,
They will spread the workload a lot more, as you say.
Yeah.
But Will Collier is our guy.
And we've seen it this year with Finn and Marler, haven't we? We've seen it with Finn and Marler, spreading that workload.
Absolutely. And Finn's probably been a little bit tired towards the end of the season because he's not done that many minutes in the first team before. And that's fine. It's all part of his development. But next season, for sure, when you've got Finn and Joe on the left and you've got TT and Dylan on the right, I do think they rotate a lot. And I do think that does help us in the long run.
100%. 100%. Anyway, we'll move on from tight head and we'll look towards the back row. Our new mate, guest of the live show, James Chisholm's re-signed, which is great news, isn't he? A Quinn through and through.
Baby Chiz. Absolutely. Baby Chiz, yeah. The club already.
Yeah.
Proper legend, actually.
Proper Quinn's man.
Yeah.
So that was great news. And obviously, you know, we had a really good chat with him at the live podcast a few weeks ago. And we know what a big part of the fabric he is, you know, talking about being head of the fines committee and managing the WhatsApp group and little things like that, you know?
You know what? I was very conscious of bringing that episode back to the rugby because it's very easy to sort of go down the social route with Chisholm because he is such a big character and he's so public facing when it comes to the jokey stuff like that big summer kickoff beach video.
But
let's bring it back to the rugby. But actually, talking about what we were just saying earlier about Will Collier being one of rugby's great blokes, and actually our squad is full of them at the moment, none of better blokes than James Chisholm, are they?
Yeah, not many.
Life and soul of the party, positive energy, really human bloke, really relatable bloke, and one that I'm very happy has put pen to paper. I genuinely think he could spend the rest of his career at Quinn's, and I think he'd be very happy for it. He's another one similar to Collier, though, that's got credit in the bank. And if he wanted to go away and play in a foreign country and put money away, you wouldn't begrudge him of that. But the fact that he's sticking around in a very competitive back row just tells you that this guy's still got so much hunger to play for Harlequins. And who knows? I know England's always been on his radar, and that's an even more competitive place to be playing. But why write him off?
And also, like you said at the live show, probably our most versatile back rower. So to have him playing across that back row where, you know, we started at seven, you know, when Webb was out or on the bench last week down in Exeter. And to have him playing across the back row, and like you said, he wants to play most of the rugby at number eight, but it's probably quite realistic in his thinking that might not be the case, given Chandler Cunningham South's, you know, emergence into the squad and obviously Alex Dombrandt's, you know, leadership and all that sort of stuff. To have him as that versatile back rower who will play at 6, 7 and 8 for us is massive. And like you said, a really true, honest, hardworking Quinn's guy. So yeah, we're buzzing that he's going to stick around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, don't think there's a more versatile back row than James Chisholm in the Harlequin squad.
No, absolutely. You've got a pizza to get.
Yeah. Excellent.
What are you on for?
Pizza's just arrived. I've got a pepperoni and I've sprinkled some black olives on the top of it as well.
Loves an olive, the boy. Loves an olive.
Honestly, can't get enough of the olives. Anyway, we're going to carry on this podcast while I've got my pizza because it will cheer me up a bit.
Speaking of needing to be cheered up while you've got your pizza, should we move into Bristol?
If you would like to, mate, as the lead of this week's episode, then I will follow your lead.
Let's move into Bristol. I mean,
what did you actually catch of it? Did you catch any while you were waiting to bat? Or
I watched about 5 minutes of the first half while I was waiting to bat, and then I was at four, so we lost the wicket quite early on, and I thought, right, I've got to put my phone up, I've got to watch it. So I watched it when we were a try down, and then we scored. So that's all I've seen. But, you know, in terms of selection, which we always talk about very quickly, good to see that Andre was back. No other real surprises. Looks like Caden picked up that knock last week, which obviously ruled him out. So Oscar Beard took up that spot on the left wing. But other than that, I think there weren't many surprises. So, yeah, we can sort of part the selection stuff. But what I was really hoping for this week was another sort of sour Bristol performance that pushed them back 2 or 3 years, because they've sort of come from nowhere a little bit. And actually, it turns out they haven't made the playoffs. But, you know, it was disappointing. And we needed results to go our way. We needed Exeter to lose away at Leicester. We needed Saracens to beat Sale at home, which didn't actually happen. So it's of slight comfort that actually the results didn't go the way that meant, you know, our result wouldn't have mattered anyway. But
absolutely,
it's still absolutely incredibly disappointing. But come on, we won't sort of deep dive into the game. I think we'll leave that for some of the three-word reviews. But just give me your overall, you know, 1 or 2 minutes or 30, 40 seconds on what you thought of the game today.
Do you know what? I actually think you summed it up pretty well when you gave me your 5 minute review of they scored and we hit back. The first half was they scored, we hit back three times over. And look, we went through all the emotions in the stands. I think that was one of the least pleasant match days I've ever been a part of.
Oh no.
I didn't feel comfortable at any point. I didn't enjoy checking my phone for other scores. I wasn't filled with confidence from the boys. I felt like the fact that we were always chasing the game was a negative way of playing it. Obviously not through our own control. Bristol are a good side. And as you say, they've come from nowhere. And it feels like, if anything, it's made completely evident that it is nigh on impossible for a Premiership team to compete on two fronts.
Yeah,
whether in Europe or the Premiership. Saints have done a brilliant job at it this year. Doing so well at the start of the season gave them that flexibility to be able to rotate a little bit.
Yeah.
To rotate so much against Bath, they'll get smashed for it in the media and on Twitter, I'm sure. But they're in the playoffs. They've got a home semi-final. They reached the European semis. Like, good for them. Unfortunately, we didn't have that flexibility because our domestic season's been a bit up and down. And we end the year on 50% win rate. We've won 9, lost 9, which I think on the face of it, you would say is probably unacceptable. But actually, when you take in all the emotion and the journey we've been on, the games we've won, the way we've won them, the European journey we've had, I feel okay. And as time goes by and I reflect, I couldn't be more grateful for the memories we've had this season. And to be sat in that south stand with my mates every week, win or lose, is always a pleasure. And then to be on the road in Europe and have the experiences that we've been given, what a team. And we say at the end of every episode, started as a bit of a joke, became a bit more serious, is that why would you support anybody else? It really has been excellent to follow the team this year. And at the end of it, in such a competitive league, it's a coin toss that decides it. It was Sale, it was Exeter, it was Quins, or it was Bristol. Three of those teams are going to leave very disappointed. And I can only imagine what those other fan podcasts are saying and how it might be a disappointing season for their lot. At least we've had a European run. And at least we've been in with a shot at the last hurdle. We were in with a shot. I think there was immense disappointment that we got rolled over so convincingly at home. But you could tell how knackered we are. And we must have played 3 or 4 more games than Bristol this season. Mm. And it is evident how much that makes a difference. But I think on the whole, and sort of reflecting on today as a day, it was good fun in a way. It was exciting. It felt a bit like the Premier League. Reminded me of when Man City won the league with Aguero and Man United had just beaten Sunderland 2-1 and didn't know what was going on. There were shades of that. And a couple of the lads around us had Saracen Sale on their phone, and Sale were quite dominant in that game. So it almost made it a bit easier for us in a way that there wasn't as much pressure on it. And it was at a time when Saracens could still come back and Quins could still win it. And that's when the hope was at its truest, probably after about 50 minutes of the game. Second half, it was very similar to Exeter, where Bristol just ran away with it, unfortunately. Kicked at the right times, scored some fairly simple tries, I think might be a bit unfair on our lads, but all it took was a line break and then it was a 2-on-1 and they were in. I think the amount of meters they must have racked up today, the amount of offloads and the line breaks that they made trumped us massively. And unfortunately, it's very difficult to win games of rugby like that. But I don't know if you want to talk about it much more. I'm fairly comfortable to park Bristol. It's one of those ones where they lose Genge, they lose Van Rensburg, they lose Sheedy all in the first half to injury. And we can't capitalise. And I think the boys have just emptied the tanks. And all we can do is thank them for that.
Yeah. And it's been the most competitive Premiership I've ever seen. With the reduced sides and, you know, having 7 out of 10 still having a mathematic chance of making the playoffs on the final day, it's pretty incredible, isn't it, in fairness? You know, you looked, and it's funny you say that. I hadn't clocked that we'd done 9-9. That hadn't quite ticked with me. But if you look down the league, Northampton have won 12, Bath have won 11, Sale have won 12, Surrey's 11, Bristol 11, Harlequins 9, Exeter have won a game more than we have.
And that's where our DNA benefits us.
Yeah. Us and Leicester have both won 9 games and lost 9 games. We've just got...
That makes it sound worse, doesn't it?
It does, but we've got 6 more bonus points than them. And, you know, in a league where it's so tight, bonus points have been, you know, so crucial. And we are... I should mention this very quickly. We are going to do an episode after this next week where we're going to do like a full recap. We're going to hopefully try and get a couple of interviews with some players to do a couple of farewells. We'll try and get that sorted. And we'll do like a full... you know, post-mortem, I suppose is the best way to say it, which sounds a bit bleak, but we will do a full wrap of it. But, you know, it's been the most competitive league the Premiership's seen, and it's been a lot of fun. And like you say, we've, along with Northampton, I mean, you can say Gloucester as well, but they've been a non-event. You know, we've probably played the most rugby out of any team in the league this year, and it's just towards the end, just some tired, tired bodies, and the boys have emptied the tank every single week. And as you say, we cannot thank them enough for doing it, because the ride that we've been on in the last year or so, it's been pretty special. And you know, we just didn't quite, you know, if we'd have won this week and results had gone our way, that rest week next week would have been incredible. You know, that rest week, you know, I they'd have barely trained this week. They might have gone on holiday. They might have just reset the tank and gone and played golf and done whatever they needed to do to make sure they were fit and firing for a playoff run. And I'm sure that the four teams that have got there are going to be doing something similar. You know, Northampton, in fairness, played a bit of a blinder this week, didn't they? They rested a load of boys, and Surrey's lost, so they're still on top and have still got that home semi. So, you know, hats off to Saints for doing it the way they've done it. But it's been a pretty special ride, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's three things I want to dwell on from the game. The first one is Chandler Cunningham South is an absolute superstar.
Yeah, he is.
The way he ran around nailing people, he put Van Rensburg into touch within the first few minutes. And I think probably broke his ribs. He hit him that hard. And that was the end of Van Rensburg. And at that point, we were all looking at each other thinking, cool, he's a big loss for them. This could go well. He also put in a huge hit on Ellis Genge, who I don't think has ever been hit that hard in his entire life. And Chana sort of gets up and brushes it off and goes and makes the next tackle as well. He scored 2 tries. The first with an unbelievable sort of swallow dive underneath the sticks. And the second was just a typical Chandler Cunningham himself carry, where he hustled and bustled and wrestled his way free from a few players and managed to dot it down. Lovely little salute celebration. He is a special, special player, 21 years old. That England 6 shirt is his for the summer tour to New Zealand. Yeah. He's only going to get better, but he's very raw still. He's very raw. There's a few little mistakes in him that are very, very easy to fix with time and experience and good coaching. And that will happen. And that will take time. It will be a bit of a journey, but his handling at times, he threw a bit of a loose pass for Gabriel Libertoy to collect and score. Very similar to what Marcus did last week for Faye with Bozo. Absolute freebie that you can't give to an electric winger. And then there was a couple of handling errors as well, but those are things that do not concern me in the slightest. This kid is an absolute superstar, and he was excellent today. By far and away, our man of the match.
Yeah, he's going to be a real superstar in the making for us, isn't he? If we can hold on to him for another 2 or 3 years, he could be absolutely world-class.
For me, he starts at 6 for England. And another one that I think does start for England is Finn Baxter. Unfortunately, I think that might be it in terms of our contingent. But I think the time is now for those two, and I'm excited to see what they can do. And I'm sure Steve will blood them over the next couple of months.
He's going to be a special, special boy for us, isn't he? He really is.
Big time. And the other two things were, today just highlights how much of a need the defence coach is. The last couple of weeks conceding 40, 50 points plus is below par for Harlequins. And it just proves that we don't play in a way that we'll outscore you every week. We score lots of tries, but the last 2 weeks we've scored four and no more. And other teams have gone on and scored a lot more. So that's just a little bit of a reset that I think we need. The DNA remains, but we need to bring that defensive coach in and we need to tighten a few things up because Bristol were playing, I was going to say Harlem Globetrotter stuff, but it was probably more Netball at times. There was quite a few forward passes in there. But we'll let it slide because they played some really, really good, exciting rugby and we couldn't wrap them up. The offloads were coming galore. I can't wait to see the stats, to be honest, because I think they offloaded triple the amount of times we did, maybe more. Hats off to them. But yeah, defensive coach definitely needed. But then the final thing I must shout out is the third member of the podcast, Luke Northmore.
Oh, yeah.
He scored one of the best tries I've seen at the Stoop where it was a counter-attack, effectively. Loose pass from Bristol. And he knees it through. He kicks it through. He then collects it. Basketballs it around, sort of juggles with it and manages to dot it down whilst being tackled early. Do watch it back if you haven't seen it yet, mate. It is an excellent finish and it just shows the class of Luke Northmore where...
Special boy, isn't he?
It's a shame that when he gets injured, because he does get injured quite a bit, but when he does, we tend to forget just how good he is.
Yeah.
There's little moments of just complete class and that was one of them. And you just think, God, this guy is so good. You hope and you pray that he gets an injury-free run and goes...
It's been a bit of a half and half season for him, hasn't it? A little bit in and out, but when he's
playing... This guy could easily be England's 13, by the way. Easily be England's 13. When you think Silky. About being... Yeah, oh, God, yeah. He's got what Henry Slade's got and some. Like, the snake hips, the step he's got, the skill he's got, the ball handling, the light cuts.
Powerful.
He's a big boy as well. He's put on weight now off the back of his injury in a good way.
Yeah,
that was sort of the third thing I wanted to call out from today. That was a real moment of euphoria in the crowd that I think we all enjoyed.
Well, let's wrap up some three-word reviews. Let's park Bristol and then we'll have a little look forward to the next couple of weeks. But some of these have come in about today. Some of these have come in across the for the season. So we'll sort of mix and match them. But Nikki Green says that we will miss Andre. The bat got swung. Already missing Lewis and hail King Collier. Paul Edwards, the Woking Quinn, has echoed your statements of defence coach needed. Friends of the Stoop, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Jamie, great European run. Adrian Brown, enjoy the summer. Alex Williams, swung the bat. Hoss Therapy Sports was 27 unanswered points. Physical breakdown, please. Herbst, a warrior. Great times ahead. Brilliant in patches. Mostly ups happily. Far too inconsistent. Empty the tank. Sign Kev Sinfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of similar ones about the defence, actually, about us.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them, piss poor defence. We miss Jerry. Sign Kev Sinfield, as you say. Ran out of steam. Tired ending twice, which I think summarises Exeter and Bristol, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But some of the positive ones. No other way.
Yeah.
One I really like from Jules. I never sleep.
And do you know what? That's been a good little addition for the pod this year as well. Getting some 3-0 reviews in and getting some different perspectives. But, well, look, that's where we will park this weekend. However, there is a little bit of, something for me to look forward to. We've been very, very fortunate to be invited to the club's end of season dinner, which is happening on Tuesday evening at the Troxy in London. Unfortunately, William, you are away working.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted because I'll be joined by another leg of the podcast. Don Nick, Uncle Nick, will be everyone's favourite uncle, will be stepping into your shoes and joining me for Tuesday night up in Troxy, which will be great fun. And I'd imagine, given... And we were actually talking about this during the week. We actually were thinking, well, if we get through and we're in the playoff, the boys might take it just a little bit easy. But actually, I imagine now that... the season is done, there might be a few boys just letting loose and having a few drinks. So that'll be quite good fun to be in and amongst it on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very jealous of you sharing a pint with King Collier.
Yeah, I'm going to have hopefully have a couple with King Collier. I'm hoping,
well,
yeah.
Hopefully you and King Collier can have one for me as well. And
yeah.
Farewell, I would have loved to have given him.
I'm sure I can
tell him I'll
you.
See him in the sauna again before he goes. Hopefully he's not quit his membership just yet.
Fine. Any more messages you want me to send on?
I mean, you never know who listens to this thing, but if nobody does listen, just pass on my immense gratitude and joy for this season. Sport is a weird and wonderful thing.
Oh, it's the best, isn't it? It's
the most I could ever ask from it was to be able to feel something. And I felt immense joy and pride at numerous times this season that only Harlequins can ever give me.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed, I can earwig a couple of the boys to maybe come on next week and hopefully share a drink or two and say some thank yous and some farewells to the departing. And
you're going
to
get a load of drunk yeses and then they're all going to come. It's not going to happen.
100%.
What's gonna happen?
Oh, mate, do you fancy coming on?
We're going to have the whole squad on here as like a group. It's going to be absolute chaos.
100%. Oh, like, Danny, do you fancy coming on? Yeah, mate, I'll do that. Oh, Dominic, fancy coming on? Yeah, mate, yeah. And I'll send him a message during the week. Sorry, mate, I was pissed and can't remember.
I land at 6:30 a.m. on Saturday morning after a week in Asia. I'd have had a 14-hour long-haul flight. If I've got a Zoom call with 30 Queensland midday, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to cope. I'm going to be running on empty.
Well, fingers crossed, I can do the pod proud on Tuesday and not embarrass myself. I've got to go suit shopping actually tomorrow. I've got to spend my Sunday going and fixing up a new black tie because I did have one, but it doesn't quite fit anymore. So I need to go and smarten myself up for Tuesday night.
I'm sure you're going to be excellent, mate.
Yeah, I might. The chairs looking all right.
Make sure you and Dad get a photo.
Yeah, we'll do plenty of that. I'm sure what I'm buzzing for that. Me and Uncle Nick are going to have a right old time of it. I need to get the last train home, though. Otherwise, work on Wednesday is going to be an absolute shambles. So fingers crossed it doesn't go too far.
Nearly
the
end of the school term as well, isn't it? No one will know.
I don't know. Well, I could not tell him and call him sick, but that's dicing with death. So I might not do that.
Also, this is a very public podcast these days.
I know. Well, luckily
the
pod faithful are very protective of us and not putting us in trouble too much. So if anyone's got any work contacts in central London, please don't tell my boss. But anyway, before we wrap up, I'm feeling emotional already, mate. This is the tough bit now.
Oh God, don't do it to me.
I know. And we've drip fed a little bit of information to people over the last a month or so. Fuck me. Unfortunately, this is my last season. Not supporting the Quins, but this is my last season. Being at the Stoop every week because I'm moving away at the end of the year. So I've not renewed my season ticket. I'm moving to Australia, hopefully in November. I'm in the middle of waiting on visas and sorting out a few bits and bobs, but this is why I'm a bit disappointed that we haven't made the playoffs because I've had my last game for a while. I'll be around a little bit at the start of the next season, but it's the end of my little run for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's pretty sad, mate. And before I say anything more, the pod is not going to die, which is something that we must say quite early on, because quite a lot of people who I've spoken to and that we've spoken to in the last 3 or 4 months when I've sort of mentioned it have said, what's going to happen to the pods? And I said, well, we haven't really figured out a plan just yet, and we are working on a way to keep it going. I'm going to take the mic with me, and I'm still going to be watching and following and paying my £50 a month to watch TNT Sports overseas. So I won't be going anywhere just yet, but I won't be around every single week, and it's going to be sad. And the pod is going to evolve in some capacity, whether it's me once a month or once every 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, or whether it's you and someone else, or maybe a sort of concoction of a few guests and other things. The pod's not going to die, but it is going to evolve. And it's sad, mate, because this has been genuinely one of the best things that I've done in my life in the last 2 or 3 years. And for those of you that are listening from the first episodes, we were sat in lockdown in January, and we've spoken about this on the live shows, and people have listened in and sort of cottoned onto it, and we were bored out of our brains. And we grew up in separate parts of the country as cousins, and we were bit apart and together at Christmas and all that sort of stuff. And to share the last 3 or 4 years with you, mate, has been one of the best things that I've done with it in the last part of my life. It's been absolutely incredible. And it's brought me and you closer as mates. You're not just my cousin now. You're one of my best mates. We've spent days in the sun in Montpellier, Paris, Toulouse, Bordeaux, away trips to the StoneX, live podcasts in Cardiff and at the Stoop, and talking to, you know, Wev, Ugo, Chris Robshaw, Will Collier, Shauna Brown, Rachel Burford, you know, the list goes on. And it's been absolutely unbelievable. And to everyone that's listened over the last 3 or 4 years, it's felt quite surreal because we had no idea what we were doing. We just started it randomly and we were lucky that it sort of caught fire the way it did, because, you know, we went on that amazing run and then went and won the Premiership, and I've forever got that day inked on my foot, as you have in your arm. That will bond us for life. And it's been it's just been the most fun, and I'm really looking forward to the move. I've been in London 7 years now, 3 years of university, 4 years of work, and I'm looking forward to a little bit of a change of pace, a little bit of a change of speed, and a bit more of a challenge for myself. But one of the main things I'll miss, mate, is doing this, because it's been just the best. And we'll do a little bit of a wrap up next week, but I just want to give a couple of thank yous just for people that might be listening. Adrian, who works in the club, has been incredible for us over the last couple of years. Craig, who works in the club, who does a lot of the ops, has been incredible. Tom, who works in the club, that does some of the player liaison stuff and works in the ops team, has been incredible. Cassie, who sorted us out with tickets and helped us on travel and all that sort of stuff, is amazing. Everyone at Quinza, you know, Scott, Phil Gibson, Will Humphreys, they've been so, so supportive. The foundation with Hillary and people that have had us in boxes, and, you know, and the firm, D-Rog, has been incredible for us the last 2 or 3 years. And Jeremy, Gaz, Mal, you know, I'll miss the regular WhatsApp groups. The regular WhatsApp chats, that won't die. But just being a little bit outside of it next year will be strange. But just to everyone that's listened and everyone that's been a part of the journey that we've been on with this team and with this club, it's been one of the best things that's been around in my life for the last 3 or 4 years, mate. And I'm going to miss it so, so much. And I will be around a little bit at the start of next season, but I'm going to miss it fucking loads, mate. And I love you.
Well, I love you. Look, mate, before this gets too gushy, I'll echo those words and say this is one of the things I've done in my life that I am most proud of.
And 100%, mate.
We've been on that journey with you is incredibly special. And we'll have times at points next season where we'll be able to do it all over again. But one thing is for sure, that the podcast will never be the same without you. So I will miss you very, very dearly. We will get you on as often as I absolutely can.
100%, yeah.
And the Melbourne Harlequin Supporters Association,
yeah,
is about to gain a very, very special member. Or you might be the origin story for it. Who knows,
yeah, if you're maybe
or not. But that is definitely something that is something that needs to happen. So, look, this isn't a negative note. This isn't a sad
note. No, it's not.
It is sad, but it is exciting. Massive, massive good luck for where life takes you next. Obviously, I am your cousin and your mate, and I will be there through thick and thin. And I'm very, very excited to see what you do. I actually think you should go into media, by the way, for the record. I was saying it today. I think you're absolutely brilliant at podcasting. I think you're excellent whenever you do interviews with the BBC, whether it be for Leicester or for London or whenever we've got European away days. I think your voice is very engaging. I think you're very articulate. You know your stuff. I genuinely think there's a future for you in some sort of media capacity, and maybe that will be in Australia. Who knows? But good luck. And
well, my visa means that I've got to do at least 2 years of teaching. So,
well, there is such thing as a side hustle. So
there are.
Maybe that will bear some fruits. But look, from Big Game 15 to Big Summer Kickoff, from Paris to Cardiff to Bordeaux to Toulouse, 2 live podcasts across the UK. It's been a special ride. And this club is still building. Let's not forget that. We are building year on year through the highs and the lows. One more episode to come. Why would you support anybody else?
Thank you so, so much to everyone that's listened. It's been just the most fun, and I couldn't have done it without you, mate. You're the best. And we've got one more episode to go for this season. We'll try and figure out some cool stuff for next week. But have a great rest of the weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.